From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a series of messages on the subject of prayer, focusing especially on the Lord's Prayer. During the past several broadcasts, Dr. Cairns has been drawing attention to some essential elements in prayer taught by these petitions. The first element is a vision of our God, of His glory, His grace, and His greatness. This is the starting point for an effective prayer life. The second element is a vision of our need, an urgent need for a true experience of heaven here and now upon the earth. Today we'll see that the third essential element in prayer is a vision of our future and our hope. For all three of the first petitions of the Lord's Prayer will be dramatically and gloriously realized at the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of this message shortly. First, we invite your attention to encouraging words from Faith's Checkbook, a devotional collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional today bears the title, Always First in Fellowship. The text is Mark chapter 16 and verse 7. He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Where he appointed to meet his disciples, there he would be in due time. Jesus keeps his tryst. If he promises to meet us at the mercy seat, or in public worship, or in the ordinances, we may depend upon it that he will be there. We may wickedly stay away from the appointed meeting place, but he never does. He says, where two or three are met together in my name, there am I. He says not, there will I be, but I am there already. Jesus is always first in fellowship. He goeth before you. His heart is with his people. His delight is in them. He is never slow to meet them. In all fellowship, he goeth before us. But he reveals himself to those who come after him. There shall ye see him. Joyful sight! We care not to see the greatest of mere men, but to see him is to be filled with joy and peace. And we shall see him, for he promises to come to those who believe in him, and to manifest himself to them. Rest assured that it will be so, for he does everything according to his word of promise, as he said unto you. Catch at those last words, and be assured that to the end he will do for you as he said unto you.
They palmed the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon my Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him. He's to blame. He could have told 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. Alone for you. precious head they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold your king." They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. I can see those blood drops red 'neath that thorn crown brow. From the cruel nail wounds now they are flowing down. Lord, if I should
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We'd like to encourage you to take advantage of some of the free literature we offer on the program. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The theme of the current issue is the subject of temptation. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church discuss such issues as how to recognize the temptation to sin, the temptation of Christ, and overcoming temptation. Among other articles of interest in this issue, you'll find a focus on the land of Macedonia, as well as the inspiring testimony of a young man born with cerebral palsy who is a glowing witness for Christ. A copy is available simply for the asking, and we promise that there will be no follow-up letters soliciting funds. For your free copy, just write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you soon.
There is a reality of living in daily, personal, deep communion with God that is heaven on earth. We need that. When I come to pray, that has got to be my prayer. I need to know also the conquest of heaven on earth, where I'm praying, Thy kingdom come. I need to know the power, the conquering grace of the King to conquer sin and Satan. And of course, for that, we need the commitment of heaven while we're on earth. Thy will be done in earth in me as it's done in heaven. And you know, that is the key to it all. My, we need a commitment, even while we're on earth, that is like the commitment we'll have in heaven. We need a vision of our God. We must have a vision of our need if we're going to pray right. And then, of course, finally, we have this third element, which is a vision of our hope and our future. Each of these three petitions has its ultimate focus on a point in the future. There is a point in the future that is the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, at which each of these three petitions will be dramatically and gloriously realized. He will come in the brightness of His glory. We're praying about the Father's glory. He'll come in the brightness of His glory. He will be revealed in flaming fire from heaven. Every knee at that time will bow to Him and every tongue confess. And He will reign, and God's will be done. That's what the prophets look forward to. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:11 that the Spirit of Christ, which was in the prophets, testified beforehand of two things: the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And that's what made the early church so bold. They had that same vision. They were participating in the sufferings of Christ. In fact, Paul felt that his sufferings were so much associated with Christ and his sufferings that in Colossians 1 he prays that his cup of suffering would be filled up, that he would make up, God would make up to him what was lacking in his experience of the sufferings for Christ. It's not a different sort of mindset than we're used to. As soon as any wee bit of trouble hits us, and look, I'm not preaching at you, I confess this is exactly the same with me. And in a way, actually, it was the same with Paul. As soon as a wee bit of trouble hits us, we're praying, Lord, get me out of this trouble. Whereas Paul came to the place where he realized, if I'm suffering for Christ, if my suffering is to make me a holier person, if my suffering is to make me a more Christ-like person, if my suffering is to advance the cause of the kingdom of God, if my suffering is to be a witness to the glory of my Father in heaven, then don't quit the suffering. Lord, give me broad shoulders to bear it, and make up that which is lacking. It's a strange mindset to most people today, but that's what he prayed. Why did he pray that way? Because, as he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, at the end of that chapter, that this light affliction, I have to say, my mind boggles at Paul's view of things. He'd been beaten. He had been stoned and left for dead. He had suffered shipwreck. He had been cursed and slandered, bruised and broken for the cause of Christ. And he says, not much to talk about. It's just a light affliction. And he says, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more and exceeding weight of glory. You see, Paul was looking beyond the present to the future. He had his eyes on that vision that filled the minds of the prophets, the vision of the glory that will follow. And when the early church had that vision, it was an unstoppable church. You could threaten them, they didn't care. You could kill them, they went happily to the stake. You read some of the early Roman historians, and their minds boggled at this. They couldn't understand it. Young men and young women taken out to be thrown to the lions, to be brutally done to death, and they went holding hands in white robes, singing the praise of this strange God, Jesus. That's how the Romans looked at it. They couldn't understand it. And they paint pictures that are so soul-searching and so soul-moving, of young women standing in a circle waiting for the beast to come and tear them limb from limb, hand in hand, with faces exalted and exulting. How could they do it? How could they do it? They were just more brave than you and I? No. But they had the vision of the glory to follow. When some of the old martyrs went to the stake, and in token and proof of their faith in Christ, could say, if I utter one cry in these flames, you can reject all I've ever said and all I've ever professed. Did they not feel the burning flame as you would feel it and I would feel it? Yes, they did. But oh, they had the vision of the glory. God, give me that vision. The glory. Jesus is coming again. We have our beliefs, our systems, and our theories about the coming of Christ. I have mine. Sincerely and strongly believe it is right. But we have made the awful mistake of so getting into battle about our systems and theories of eschatology that the central, joyous, overwhelming reality that Jesus Christ is coming again has somehow been lost. He's coming. He's coming. I often kid Dr. Barrett. He believes he'll come before the tribulation. I believe he'll come after the tribulation. But I say this, and we have often smiled at this. This is one time. If I'm wrong, I'll shout glory to God. Why? Because as far as any Christian's concerned, he couldn't come soon enough. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's coming. That's why we sang that hymn, Lo, He Comes, Emmanuel Comes. This same Jesus is coming again. When you're praying, pray in the light of the coming of Christ. That will detach you from this age and this world. It will detach you from the things that would ensnare you. The things that Paul was talking about in Hebrews 12, laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset you, the sin which would serpent-like just wind its way around your feet and stop your progress. If you want to get rid of it, how do you do it? Get your eyes on Christ. He's coming again. He's coming again. My, this sets you free from being this worldly. You know, here's the thing. We hear so much today about practical Christianity. I'm a great believer in practical Christianity. You come back tonight, you'll hear me say a little more about that from the life of Abraham. I'm a great believer in practical Christianity. But I don't believe in the practical Christianity that is too often foisted on people today. The liberal, the modernist, and all the rest of it, they want you to be a practical Christian by being so much this worldly. Many of the great reformed minds, and I'm being a little sarcastic when I say that, just in case you didn't catch it, many of the great deformed minds of this late 20th century constantly, scoffingly, talk about pietists as if the pietists were all bad. Some of those pietists had more godliness in the dirt in their fingernails than their critics have in their whole body. I want to say this to you. The more this worldly we become, the less use we will be in this world. The more otherworldly we become, the more useful we will be in this world, the more we have the vision of our hope and our future. So here are the three great elements in prayer: a vision of our God, a vision of our need, a vision of our hope. I talked at the beginning of the four looks that this text said we had to take. Well, if we have this triple vision, we will be able to look upward with confidence. We'll be able to look outward to the world with courage. We'll be able to look inward with honest commitment. And we'll be able to look forward with absolute certainty. May God teach us, as Jesus taught his disciples, to pray.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.